dandy love as makes your garden grow. All it takes is organic know-how to make some fertile ground. Inch by inch, box by box, Andy Lopez makes your garden rock. With Invisible Gardener Radio Talk, and don't panic, it's organic.
Andy Lopez, the invisible gardener, has been helping folks from around the world, and he can help you too. Listen to Don't Panic, It's Organic every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can just listen, or you can call in and talk directly to the invisible gardener right here on bbsradio.com/don'tpanic, it's organic. That's Don't Panic, It's Organic, every Saturday afternoon on bbsradio.com/don'tpanic, it's organic.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, aka the Invisible Gardener. How y'all doing today? I hope everyone's having a great, wonderful time. So today, before I get started, I started on the show because we're going to be talking about. I happen to have gotten two questions that came in, which are really cool, interesting questions, and so I'm going to be going over those. If you want to talk to me, that's what it's all about. You can give me a call at 888. That's 888-627-6008. That's a toll-free number. Or you can call me a direct line at 323-744-4831. Of course, if you use Skype, you can get right in touch with me right on the air right now on Skype by using using BBS Radio PR. Just spell it the way it is, BBS Radio PR. Or you can, of course, just call the Skype number at 530-636-6080. And of course, you can also email me at andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. Just make sure you spell invisible and gardener right because it doesn't work otherwise. We're having a contest this this would be like the I think it's the second week or third week. We have a few more weeks left for September, and the winners. What we're doing now is that anyone who enters the contest becomes a winner. They automatically get in the email back saying you have won, and a link to follow, and it lets you sign in and join the club for free. It gives you access, immediate access to the Don't Panic, It's Organic ebook version of of my book. You can get you can buy the print version right off the website. You also get a 10% discount. I think it's 20% discount. You get a code that you can enter when you buy off the website. That gives you a discount. So if you want to buy the book, normally membership is $55 for a lifetime, and that includes the print version of the book, which is a $20 book. It's 55 plus the shipping. So it depends. I think it's 12 or 13 or 14 for shipping, something like that. Anyway, anybody who enters now, and I made it really simple for everyone now to enter this month, all they have to do is send me an email to andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. And in the subject, you write name of the radio show you heard this offer from. So if you're listening to it on BBS Radio, you can says write bbsradio.com radio show contest. Or if you're listening to whatever other station, if you get it through my podcast, just type in the name of what you're listening to and then radio show contest. Just make sure you have contest, radio show contest on there. This is just a way for me to not only help you, but it helps me to see where people are listening and where they're coming from. So you'll get immediate response back from me. Well, you'll get it back from the email, and well, happiness is that I'll send it to you. I don't have it set up automatically for the computer to give out that you have one link. Once a month, what we do, I pick a one out of all the email entries, and they get the special version of my book, another of my membership. In other words, they get the print version of And to make it even more interesting, they get the color version of it. The color version is not for sale at all. It's only available. Well, I had it up for sale on Amazon. It was like $78, something like that, you know, $79, $80. But then what happened was, because Amazon sells to what they call third-party vendors, I found that my book was available for $300. And people were calling me up, why is your book so expensive? I said, what do you mean? Well, your book is $300. I said, count me. And of course, there they were. So I would contact them. I said, why are you selling my book for $300? I said, well, and they told me, we are Amazon, third-party Amazon vendors. And we can sell it for what we deem it to be worthy of. And I said, well, thank you. I appreciate you thinking it's really worth a lot, but I don't think I want to do that. So I contacted Amazon. I said, I want to be the only one available to buy the print, the color version of the book. You can continue selling the black and white version, which goes for $19.99. So that's the story of that. And so I'm selling it on my website right now. I think it's $55, pretty close to, it was on sale right now, but it's normally $100 because it costs that much almost to print and then to ship it and deliver it. And the print version is also available up there. But of course it's, so, you know, because Amazon's selling it, if you use Kindle, you can also get the Kindle version of it as well. Okay, so let's see. That was the contest information. Okay, so by the way, if you're sending me email, that's an ideal time to send me your questions right in the body of it, right? You know, you can say anything you want to. You can complain about the radio show, or you can tell me what's good, or you can tell what you like to hear about it, or a question is good. I won't advertise the bad stuff I get. Okay, so I got a question. Let me go ahead and change this. Let's see. So this is a song I'm working on right now. I love it. It's absolutely beautiful. So I'm still working on it. You get to hear it before anybody else ever even hears it. It's called, I Was Just Thinking of You. Oh yeah, I'm getting a call now. Isn't that wonderful?
Call from wireless caller. Call from wireless caller.
Isn't that nice? Anyway, we'll get to play that all the way through in my show coming after this one, which is called The Cosmic Spaceship. So we're basically having a series of talks about the soil. Oh. And hang on.
Call from.
Hello? You know I'm doing a radio show right now, right? Who is this? Oh, yeah, I'm doing a radio show right now, man. This is the time I'm at. As a matter of fact, you're on the air. You should say hi to everybody. Go ahead. Wait, here's a... Say hi, everybody.
Hey, hi, everybody. I'm not Andy Longshine. He's a great guy.
Oh, God.
Mainly Everglades when we're growing these big, big mangoes and avocados. And totally organic.
He doesn't know that I do a radio show. I mean, they all do. They all call me when I do a radio show because I... emits is a powerful vibe through the air. Okay, call me back later, brother. Bye. It's true. When I do the radio show, I manage to get my friends and family and all kinds of other people call me, not to do the show, but on my home thing, because I work out of my home. And so it's the vibes that go out, right? The frequencies I send out, I manage to penetrate through all those things. And I think it's the music, too, because the music gets sent out. And I'll explain it to you after the show. Anyway, this guy says, that's why I call it the Cosmic Spaceship. I'm planning on doing all kinds of interesting things there. I'm trying to explain to people the energy, frequency, light, okay, the whole thing. Anyway, this person says, I love your radio show. Let's see, I started listening. I'm listening to I love your radio show. Started listening. I am a member. Right now is wait a second. What is this? Oh, no wonder. Okay. No, that's it, all right. That's all right. The person says, I love your radio show, studied listening. I have a problem on my property. It has a member, he has my book. Can you tell me about the difference? Okay, so the person wants to say, I'm a member, I have your book. I run my own business, my own organic business. Can you tell me about your super seaweed, especially the difference, your services? I wrote it by hand when I was copying it off the website, off of the email, because on the website I couldn't get to a computer to print, so I wrote it down. I can't read my own writing. especially the difference between the spraying ingredients and the soil treatment. Well, between the spraying treatments and the soil treatments. His name is William from Cedar Key, Florida. Cedar Key, I know the place. Okay, so I guess it's William or Bill. Okay, so here's I do a service, and this is something I've been doing pretty much all my life, because I discovered really early on that what I'm really doing is the soil. I call myself a soil mechanic, but really a soil doctor. But I can't do the name soil doctor because there's a guy named soil doctor. So I don't want to infringe on him. And it's all very difficult to come up with something new, you know, that nobody else is using. But basically, soil medic. Maybe I'll write that down. I'll write that down. Soil medic, right? I like that. I like that name. Soil medic. Medic. Anyway, I started a long time ago working on realizing that. I think I read in a book, maybe one of Rodale's books, or maybe one of the older ones, you know. That basically in organic gardening, you feed the soil. And I said, oh, that's a wonderful idea, feeding the soil. But what does that mean? You just give the soil what are you doing feeding the soil? Is the soil something that eats, right? You know, is it living? It's a whole, that dirt thing, that compost, is that living? Is that something that moves around like the glob or something? So I was always fascinated by the fact that somewhere along the line I saw on TV there are lots of science fiction stuff about people getting really small. I also liked the on TV when they showed things that are small through a microscope and stuff like that. And I think I saw a TV show on microorganisms in everything, in the soil, in the water, in our stomach. So I understood then that they are all types of small living beings, basically microorganisms. That's what it means, small organisms. I think we're macro organisms, large organisms. We're not even large. I mean, elephants larger, right? Whatever. Whales, right? And anyway, when I started doing my business, I was basically just doing what people asked me, because people will come to me and say, I would like you, you have such a nice garden, help me with mine. And so when I got out of the service in 1970, that was a year that I started a church, because I'm actually an ordained minister, and the church started a school or a college, whichever you want to call it the LIST, a Living Institute of Survival Technology. Excuse me if I said this before, but I'm just, you know, trying to, okay, I'll move it along. The school started Invisible Gardener, which is put the services and put what the school teaches into effect. Okay, so when I started working on people's properties, I never really started off as a gardener. That's why I got the name Invisible Gardener. You see, I've always been a very clever person, and one of the reasons why I got the name was to basically say this is not a gardening company. We're not into gardening. You can hire your gardener to do the gardening, which, interestingly enough, is what I try to do with people's gardeners. I try to get them. They have to. The owners have to agree to tell the gardeners, this is what you should. He will tell you what to do and what not to do. I take away from the gardeners their ability to use any kind of fertilizers. No fertilizers whatsoever. The only thing that they are going to decide, well, The main thing they're going to be doing is keeping up with all the growth, keeping it in the right condition that the owners want. I have one customer on one side that likes it really lush, and it's amazing growing, and it handles the heat really fine. You can maybe see monkeys running through there, and parrots, and all kinds of other creatures. And then I have another customer who's gone maniac about pruning. She says I should prune like an artist. I keep saying artists prunes that the flowers grow. Because there's one particular plant, I think it's called a yellow buttercup. If you do it right, it produces massive amounts of most beautiful yellow you've ever seen. It covers the whole thing. It gets to be really, I'm 6 foot, so it's taller than me in a big bush, okay? But oh no, she wants it pruned back. And after all these years of being there, it was massively pruned back, and they ain't never going to come back. Anyway, so what I what I've discovered to myself, and then you know, there's more people now talking about healing the soil, healing the earth. One of my earliest slogans, I used to say, "Heal the earth, and you heal yourself," because I have always connected the earth to the human body. Okay, I've always connected. We're basically like a little movable earth. Everything that we have in our body started in the earth. And so we have this connection, you know how to say from dust to dust, right? We go back from ashes to ashes. The whole thing about getting buried, returning back, well, that's pretty close to it, right? So anyway, so what I learned was that I have a recent article that I wrote, and it's called Proactive versus Reactive, okay? And so, but that article basically says that it's better to be proactive than reactive. That's true for almost every aspect of our life, you know, and especially in our health, especially in our environment, mental health, the health of the environment, the health of the earth, right? The health of all the living beings around us, right? It's better to be proactive than reactive. Reactive, all you're doing is continuing with the process over and over again. It's great if you're a chemical company, you tell, I have to come by your place once a month and spray this, or I have to spray that for this pest, or I have to, right? And that's what we are taught to be reactive. You're having a problem eating this, take this pill. If that plant has a bug, spray that bug, this to kill the bug. If you got weeds, use this herbicide, and so on, right? Got flies, spray this stuff on it, okay? That never made much sense to me. Never made, and still doesn't make much sense to me. And it's really sad because the gardeners are supposed to be caretakers of the soil, and they don't get it. They do not get it. And so that's why I get an invisible gardener. It's like the invisible force of gardening, okay? I'm coming up with some nice stuff today. Invisible force of gardening. I hope this is being recorded, man. Force of gardening, because it's really, really good. I'm telling you guys, you should be paying me hundreds of dollars. Well, normally I do workshops, and I charge. Well, in my youth, I used to charge $250 for a four-hour workshop. And, man, I would give you 4 hours worth of stuff. I tell people, don't even bother taping it. I usually tape it, and I would sell the show. That's one reason. But, you know, otherwise people wouldn't be paying attention. They would be taping instead of paying attention. Because I would say that I tell them that, you know, since it's taped, they can I put it on YouTube, so it was free. They could watch it again. And a lot of them are up there. I have over 900 videos right now, maybe going on 1,000, something like that, 1,000. Anyway, to make a long story short, actually, I got plenty of time. That's what this is for, you know. It's for me to be here and talk to you. So I was just trying to let you understand how I've gotten to where I am today. I mean, I've been doing a radio show. Well, I actually started in the service, Armed Forces Radio. This is my talk. You're listening to KNDY, Home of the Good Guys. That was the name of the radio show. I was number one in Armed Forces Radio for quite a few years. I used to play. The name of the show was Leroy's Golden Rocks. You know, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, that one. But, and then my logo was the King Kong climbing up the Empire State Building, swapping the planes. And I'm not going to say any more than that, other than I played oldies but goodies and all kinds of interesting things. But that's before I got out of the service, 68 to 70. I got out of the service in 70. I wasn't doing a radio show then, I don't think. The earliest I started doing a radio show was, I did a little bit, but it wasn't totally, you know, it was through the school, you know. So that worked out okay, except that you only really listen to it so far. Then the first time I did a radio show was in Miami when I started working for the different stations. Not working for them, but doing my show. I did KPFK for a long time. And that was like 15 years or so, you know. Anyway, so what I've learned is, in order, because people will call me for this problem, right? They wait until something happens and they react to it. They will call me for this problem. My roses have a disease. Or in the case, for example, of this second letter, the person has pine trees that are dying. His neighbor's pine trees have died already. One of his pine trees have died. He wants to know what to do. Right? Okay. So you wait until something... am I okay here? I'm assuming I'm fine because I can't... I kind of not see anything. I'm thinking I'm okay. My engineer will tell me, assuming I can still hear him. Or
hello, testing. Oh, that's my voice. I love my voice.
So, I started, when I would go to people's places, and it's unfortunate too, because a lot of times I would go someplace and I go, now you're going to call me? Why did you wait for it to be like so almost near death? And sometimes I can't tell you that I've never lost any of them, because I would tell them honestly, and sometimes I would just hate to take their money. I mean, I wouldn't take them. I would say, look, I've actually said, look, I'll just treat it, take care of it, and then if it comes back, you pay me for it. And I thought that was a good deal, except for the fact that they would then say, no, you never made that deal. And to go to take them to court to go through that whole scenario wasn't worth it, because I had to, you know, you would have had to make them sign a thing saying you owe me this if everything works out okay. And I'm not very good at forcing people to sign contracts. A handshake is more than enough for me. Anyway, and they still do to this day. I still get calls all the time for problems, things that are happening. Nobody calls me. Look how beautiful and healthy my place is. Can you help me keep it that way? All my life, and I'm 70 years old. Okay, I've never gotten anybody call me and tell me that. They always say, "Oh, my tooth is hurting. Oh, do something quick." Anyway, so when they do that, when that happens, see, and it's the same thing with this other person with his trees and what he needs to do with his trees. And with this person here, understanding the difference between the spraying and the soil treatment. So what I did, I learned that that there is a short-term and long-term solution to everything. It applies to human beings and sickness and health, right? It applies to the universe. It applies to everything. As it pertains to us here in terms of gardening, in terms of growing things, in terms of fruit trees and flowers and trees and all these things, if this guy's doing a service, so I'm assuming as a service, he's going to people's homes and trying to get their place to do well, right? And there's always a problem doing that, too, because you're only there once a month, and you come back, you go, now what did your people do, right? So it's an ongoing battle. So part of it is you have to teach the gardeners and the owners. You say, no, you know, part of it is watering, right? Learning, you're overwatering, you're killing everything. No, the gardeners cannot be applying any of this stuff. You see what I'm saying? And the owners have to stop doing this and doing that. There's lots of different things you have to break through and sort of get them to work. But in terms of working on a situation where, for example, this guy's trees, okay, the short-term solution is to do something to the trees that are there, that would either slow down the deterioration process or... at any rate, will help them get stronger immediately. See what I mean? Will help them out immediately. If there's a bug attacking them, then you want to learn what to do organically to attack the bug, even though you know that the bug is not the bug's fault to go after that tree. because that's the way, that's the way it's set up, okay? That bug is set up to recycle the tree. It's in the genes, you know? But you can't, you know, kind of tell the bugs, no, leave them alone, and at the same time, help the tree to recover. And that's a part of the short-term solution. What do I do now to help the situation? You know, when there's an accident, they give you an intravenous, a thing hanging there, that's immediate, see, right? Your body is getting it right away, right? Or you're bleeding, you put a bandage over it, that's immediate. That's a short-term solution. That you all, you know that you're gonna have to fix it, change the bandage, you know you're gonna have to do more down the road. But you always have to try to get it so that the immediate damage is minimized and that the immediate stress is reduced, minimized. I tell people the greater the stress, the greater the disease. Actually, it says the greater the pest. The greater the stress, the greater the pest. That rhymes. I like that version because that rhymes better than the greater the pest. The greater the stress, the greater the disease. But the reality of it is that the pest brings the disease. The disease is in the soil. All diseases are in the soil. And so there are different pests that are called vectors that throughout their life cycles, throughout their evolution, certain diseases have attached themselves to these pests because they know that that pest will end up in the right place for the disease to grow. There's no coincidence that these things happen. So you have to do the short term for it. Well, that means immediately. Do something now. A month, a week, or two, a year from now, it'll be kind of late for whether it be the tree or whether it be whatever problem you have, whether it be roses, right, lawns, whatever, right? Vegetable gardens are even more immediate, right? Because, you know, vegetables will grow, lettuce will grow in 30 days. You can't wait 30 days to solve the problem. You have to do something immediate. There's always really simple solutions. And part of the answer is when you do something that's immediate, you do something that is, you're not causing any further harm, right? Not only to the plant, but to the soil. Ideally, you're not going to cause any harm to the bug you're doing. You're just going to tell the bug, go away. See, and I prefer to do that to the bug than to go around killing everything. Because the bug will go wherever the food is there for it. Okay, so the short-term solutions for me was to, what happens is that I've been telling you all, and I will tell it to you again, and I don't mind saying it over and over and over again. When I do my column, people automatically know I'm going to be talking about the soil again. Wait, I got to do this because this is just, you know. Isn't that nice? I love it, man. Isn't that wonderful? It's not over with. Hang in there. Watch, listen to this. Here it comes. Watch. I'm still working on it. Yeah, it's not done yet, but I multitask, and I thought you might enjoy it. So you have to address the immediate problem, whether it be, you know, you have to automatically assume that there's a problem with the soil. You're not going to find a healthy environment that's going to call you that has healthy soil. Always is a problem with the soil. This person's problem, his name is Johnny, with his pine trees, is that nobody's paying any attention to the soil, to the health of the soil. By the way, he's watering for 5 minutes every day, two or three times a day, which is very, very bad. So it's the soil. So you have to do something to give immediate food and help and relief to the plants or the environment, whatever it is you're there. That's a short-term solution. The long-term solution, and because it is a long-term solution, it's the soil. What do I have to do to get the soil to become happy and alive and healthy? When the soul is happy and alive and healthy and has all the minerals that it needs to work with, then so too will the plant and everything that's growing from it, and so too will anything and the environment, because everything's all interlinked. Animals would eat the plants that grow in the healthy environment. Other animals would eat other animals. Insects would eat the plants and other animals. Everything is interlinked to recycling all the minerals throughout the environment. See what I'm saying? Right? So what you have to do is you have to, first of all, control the watering. So instead of watering 5-10 minutes every day, trees don't like to get watered on a regular basis. If they live in a tropical environment, the water is very different. The whole environment is very different. The whole cycles and everything is very, very different. It's already set up to handle that. But if you live in an environment that doesn't rain on a regular basis, it's not tropical, like here in Southern California, you have a clay soil, you have an environment that keeps trying to go back to the desert environment. There's no tropical anything over here, maybe along the coast a little bit, and that's changing too, because it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. So the soil is dying on you. The soil is changing its structure. The soil is changing who lives there. Okay, the pH of the soil is alkaline. It's very alkaline, which is not very good for the microbial life. One of the things that we have to understand is that all throughout around the world, the microbial life is different according to what is being grown there, according to the environment and the climate that's there. The microbial life in Cuba, the tropics, in set aside the hurricane, it's very different than one in the Antarctic, or the one in Antarctica, or the one in Argentina, or the one in Peru, or the one in North Dakota or Florida. So each one of those has their own microbial life that comes with it, and they also evolve together with the trees and plants that are there in that area. So one of the things that we have done in our wisdom is we have now, when you go to a property, when I go to a property, I see 100 different types of plants that come from different parts of the world. What that means is that those plants are not getting the microbial life in the roots that they would normally have evolved to. All right? There are palms over here that don't come from here. They come from Hawaii. There are trees here. The eucalyptus don't come from here. They come from Australia. And so on. There are lots of plants everywhere that, I write a lot about natives and helping people understand what is a native and what is not a native. And it's really interesting about this one particular native I just recently wrote about. It's called the black mustard, and it's been taking over California, Southern California, specifically along the coast. And it's really an interesting plant, and some people are calling it a native. But the reality of it was brought here by the Jesuit monks during the early periods of, 18th century, I think it was, the early 18th century, maybe late 17th century. I think it was 17. Oh, I'm not really sure of the date now. I'm not going to give you any dates, but I think it's 18th something, but I'm not really, really sure. I have to look it up again. That basically anything after that is considered non-native. Before that time, it was considered native. In other words, it was found before then, it's considered native, it was found after that. And it was basically happened because the monks, when they came to California to set up the monasteries, would bring seeds and all kinds of things with them that they planted. And one of the things that they planted was the mustard, the black mustard. And of course, the black mustard is, mustard. You can use it for all kinds of things, from healing to food. So I forget what I was talking about, but so the microbial life has to be brought back. You have to give it an environment that it could live in. And so I've developed a very unique way of dealing with it. So I do foliar applications. That's one of the things I do, is I learn how to spray things. Instead of chemicals, I would spray things like compost tea I would spray my super seaweed. So I have basically two different types of products. I don't call them the same thing, but one is super seaweed, which is a spraying. So the super seaweed is actually a microbial food. It has, not only does it have microbes in it, a variety of different types of microbial life. I buy different products from around the country, and some of it ends up from around the world. And I was a few shows ago, gave some of the products away, the name of the companies, you know. And coming up soon, I'll be talking some more about some of my ingredients. People want to know the entirety of my ingredients. I can't tell you everything because that's what my business is based on, but I'm more than happy to give you a long list and go through them because it's very very strange. It's more, I was going to say, eccentric of me. Every month I'm going, I'm spending way too much money buying all this stuff, you know, because I just bought see if I have it over here, tiny little cup. It's 8 ounces. It's $100. But that mixture would get added to my I call it primordial soup, because I basically make the stuff myself. And then I spray. That's one of the things I spray. So I've learned that by spraying on the leaves, normally in nature you have the microbial life on the leaves. In a forest, tropical forest, the microbial life is everywhere, especially on the leaf in the soil. And so I spray the microbial life onto the leaves of the plants and the trees. What I do is I go for the blend theory. It's my theory. So rather than say, okay, because some people say, well, these different types of microbial life will fight each other. I go, no, if there were human in nature, they would. But if there anything else, they would not fight each other. They're all different because they come from different parts of the world, different biome means that they grow in. But if they were all thrown in together, they would merge into one group that would work for that area there, you'll see. And that's pretty much what's happening throughout the years. I've learned that when I start to spray, the spraying technique is one way to get them out there as fast. You spray the first time you go there, 99.9% would die. The second time, you'll be 99.8%, and so on. But you also have to provide an environment for them to grow in, and that's what the soil treatments are. The soil treatment consists of compost, and I use live compost. I don't buy the dead compost available in the store, so I always look for a source that's providing the microbial life. I talk a lot recently about Dr. Earth. They have some wonderful, wonderful organic fertilizers. And believe it or not, it's not compost. They have topsoil and they have a planting mix. But the planting mix has lots and lots and lots and tons of all the good microbial mycelium life that you want, which is much better than not doing anything at all to it. You'll find that if you study the microbes, you'll find that there are literally thousands of different types of microbial life that you out there, and they have literally thousands of different types of microbial products that you can buy that sell these, right? And so what I do is I get the powdered version of it, because I actually get the powdered version, which can be then made into a liquid version or can be kept as a powdered version for the soil treatment. So what I do for the soil treatment is I buy the very same version of it. I buy one powdered version of the product, say, right? I use some of it to add it to the liquid soup. I use the other one to add it to the powdered version of the blend. So in this blend, what I do is I add, first of all, you want to add two things is what you're really adding, okay? You're adding microbes, and they're usually in a dry suspended state, or if you're in a liquid form already, they'll be already activated, and you're adding minerals. You want the microbes and the minerals together. You want to have a source of microbes. Microbes need the minerals. You can't put the microbes in the soil. If there's no minerals in the soil, they will die. Get it? So that's part of what I do when I make my soup. I have the microbes and I add rock dust to it. 14 different types of rock dust. And one show coming up soon, I'll talk to you about each different type of rock dust that I use and where they come from. And so I add the rock dust to the soup, to the liquid. Like I use the Nitron A35 or the AgriGrill and the Willard water, different types of liquid seaweed. Make this liquid of it and let the microbes eat the rock dust. And they do. They will go through that. And it becomes a liquid nutrient that I can then dilute in a clean water. That's one of the things about doing the sprayings is that you have to get the, before you put any water in it, you have to filter it out. So I use a couple of different types of garden filters throughout the years to filter out the water. You want clean, unchemicalized water, otherwise you're defeating the purpose. See what I mean? So then you have the water, and you basically you can make, it's like making compost tea. There are lots of different ways to aerate it, different techniques in terms of how long you make it and so forth. But usually when I make the product, the spray is a 100-gallon sprayer. So in it, I would make, and my spray, the foliar spraying is unique for that property because some things require different types of food, because I also add to it a variety of different natural food sources that I can spray so that it provides the nutrition for the two. It's all organic, right? So you want to have organic fertilizers that are liquid, organic liquid fertilizers that are basically have all the nutrients in it. One of the things I also spray is I call it that's the name of it, C90, SEA-90. It's a source of 90 trace minerals, and it's from the ancient sea life, ancient salt that's been dug up. And there are other sources of the trace minerals, so you want to get a variety of sources of trace minerals. I get one particular source that's basically for humans, but it's a wonderful trace mineral source. And there's several of those on the market, you know, for humans to get their trace minerals, but we also use the same trace minerals, except that we want the microbes to get at it and break them down before you make them available to the plants. So you want to do is you want to have, so what I do is I've learned, because I grow mushrooms, we can talk about the silly kind, but basically there are many other different types of beneficial mushrooms that you can take to good for the health and the body. But mainly what you want to do is you want to make an environment for the mushrooms to grow on your property. So if they're growing, that means below ground you have the mycelium that's there, because that's where the mushroom, that's indicator that the soil is alive with the mycelium. And that's what you want. So basically what I do is I start a little mycelium colony. So I talk a lot about tree vents. So I have a couple of different types of tree vents. And tree vents are just what it says. They're vents for trees. And basically, what I do is I use clay drain pipes. That's exactly what they're called, clay drain pipes. Unless you live in Malibu, and then they're called wine holders. Because people buy the clay drain pipes, and then they stack them together in the basement somewhere, and there's your wine holder. You stick your wine in there, see, right? Wine bottles. But they're about 4 inches wide, and they're about 2 feet long. They actually come in 6 foot that can be cut up into whatever lengths you want. But I think that the 1 or 2 feet, 2 feet is about the length you want, the depth you want it to go. You buy a green grate that goes on top of it, and then what you do is you, in terms of the watering, if you're watering trees or whatever, ideally you want to have a drip line run over the tree vent and inside and drips down into the tree vent. Inside the tree vent is where you want to make this mixture. I know that one of my engineers was growing mushrooms, and I'm pretty sure he's interested in this, but basically that's what you do. You grow mushrooms inside this clay drain pipe. You want to make this mixture with the mycelium in there, with the spores in there, the compost in there. You add a tiny little bit of organic fertilizer, a little bit of the rock dust. You make it so that it's a conducive place for the mushroom spores to grow, and they will come up. And while also, other thing that happens is that instead of them coming up, what will happen and what you want to do is you want the mycelium to slowly spread out on the property. It will spread out on the property, provided that you have cleaned up the property, because a lot of times the property, right, the soil is toxic. The use of chemical fertilizers destroys the soil. It's a salt. So you're adding more and more salt onto the property, okay? So it destroys the soil. You'll find that one earthworm, you're in order to struggle. Right? So you have to, so that's one of the reasons why the spraying is so good, because you can spray, you keep spraying the microbial mixture, the super seaweed, or in the case, whatever you make, because all you have to do is make compost tea. Here's the secret. Make compost tea. Make your best compost. Put rock dust in the process of making compost so you have the minerals and the compost together. Add the microbial life to your compost as much as you can. But you'll be adding microbial life if you add any type of manure to it. Each type of animal manure has its own microbial, this distinctive type of microbials. So, you know, that's why cow manure is different than horse manure, than sheep manure, than rabbit manure. When I was young, I used to add as many different chicken manure, as many different llamas, as many elephants, as many different types of manure as I could, because they're all different microbial life. And so the more of a blend you can get, recently I found buffalo poop. Buffalo compost has the different microbial life in it, okay? Add it to it, your compost making process, and then take that compost, put that into the tree vents, run a drip line across the top so it gets watered once a month. A nice deep watering once a month. And you have to build up to that, because when you first initially do that and you post hole digger, you can put digging down there, you'll find it to be hard as a rock. And nothing, and if you let to turn the water on, you'll find that within 10-15 minutes the water is going to percolate up and wash away. So you can't do that. So what you have to do is turn the water on and see how much water it takes before it starts to fill, and that's when you turn it off. And so you want to build that up. So after a while you can increase that so the water goes in and stays in there. Because what will happen is water percolates through and it sits in there for initially. You have this microbial life that will start to be active. And what they'll do, they'll eat the food that's in there for them. As long as they get enough, not too much water, they'll flood them away, but if they get enough water to stay moist, they will survive. And then and when they get water again, they'll get bigger. And eventually, they'll expand out beyond the clay drain pipes. And so as they start to grow more and more, you will eventually want to be adding more of the microbes too, because remember, a lot of them will die in the beginning. That's where you want to back them up, right? So that's one reason why I do it as a monthly basis, because every month I go spray a whole new army out there for them. Put it on the leaves and soak the ground with it, soak the and put it especially into the tree vent. So I have a deep root feeder, which I attach to my sprayer. It has that, since the sprayer has an aerator in it, it also pumps oxygen down in there, which the microbes, certain types of microbes like, as opposed to anaerobic and aerobic. I'll go over that some other time. So by encouraging the growth of the microbial life in the soil, understanding that this is a long-term process, it will take you years to go through this process, because you also have to protect the soil. You have to apply compost, you have to apply rock dust, compost, and mulch. See, that's what you put on top of the soil. The water should be kept below the soil. If you do it enough of it on a regular basis, you have this nice thick layer of mulch and all this stuff. And if you dig underneath, you're going to start finding earthworms. As a matter of fact, it's not a bad idea to buy some earthworms. They're African red wigglers. Put them in there and buy more of them. There are lots of different companies that help you grow mushrooms. And you can buy their they sell them in logs, or they sell them in the spore bags. Lots of different clubs. I belong to several mushroom growing clubs from around the world. I use them for medicine, for healing, for everything. I have it all. And the more I read about it, the more I use it, because it helps your stomach. It helps your health, you know. And you just basically grow it, and you can eat the mushrooms, see, right? Cook them and fry them and make medicine out of it. But at the same time, you're getting the soil to start to grow again. You'll find that the plants will respond to that. You're going to see that they'll start to respond to it more and more and more. So throughout the years, it just gets better and better and better, sustainable, to eventually you don't really have to do anything. As long as you're not, but remember, they're living things, so they're going to be taking things out. So you always have to be providing something. Because in the past, you used to have millions and millions of animals and birds and stuff poo-pooing everywhere, right? And dropping stuff on a regular basis. Now look around and see how many animals you got that are doing that. So you're going to have to be providing that, because it doesn't come from nowhere. It's called soil depletion. So you want to be providing that. So if you have a property, If you're doing a service, one of the things you want to do is you tell the gardeners, you're going to get this compost, you're going to use this rock dust, and you're going to use this organic fertilizer, and you're going to use this mulch. Those are the things you're going to be doing, this particular type. It makes sense if you can make it yourself. Ideally, you get the good ones in the store. You have to learn how to find the right things to buy. They're out there. So that's the basic difference between the two, okay, is that they both are working on the same level, but one is going towards the health of the soil, and that takes a while for it to break down and to become available. So that takes years. It takes a year to even for me to notice it, because what I do a brick readings on the plants so you can see where they start and where they're at now. That's another story, because that helps you. And your customers say, look, this is this brick reading. Now look at this brick reading. Now look at this brick reading. See? That's one way, because they don't believe you. You don't even need these things. You can tell, because the trees and the plants will be growing healthier and healthier. Even the ants will be controlled. But there are natural organisms in the soil that controls the ants and any other pests and any other diseases. See what I'm saying? So I think we have a starting in a minute. No, I don't get it. I didn't get a message yet that said anything about how much time we got left here. I think we probably have a few minutes left. So the answer to this person who has the trees is very simple. As I said, you change your watering and start protecting the soil and what? two minutes. Hey, I'm used to talking to God in my head, so I can't talk this way. Stop it. I hope you guys get the message, okay? That basically, the soil is going to take some time for you to do stuff. And you can't be using fertilizer, chemical fertilizer, because it kills the soil. That's the whole cause of everything. And a doctor should be telling you, don't eat that crap. Stay away from the chemical, which is almost impossible. Everything's toxic everywhere. That's what's going on. Everything's toxic. So we have to, start at home. We have to start one person doing this thing. That's what it's about. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about carbon. I'm going to explain to you why carbon is so important. I just finished talking to somebody the other day who asked me about biochar. She wanted to know what biochar was. So I'm going to explain to you, biochar is just a name of a product, but basically it's been used for thousands and thousands of years, the knowledge of that, but definitely by the Chinese and any ancient culture. Think of fire. Humankind and fire go together, right? Well, charred, charcoal. Okay, think about that, and we'll talk about it, and how the soil uses carbon. Because remember, I always talk about getting carbon out of the air, carbon goes in the soil. What's the big deal with carbon? So I'll go over that with you. And remember, if you want to talk to me, just email me. You can always go to my website, invisiblegardener.com. Coming up will be a cosmic spaceship, and I'm going to be playing my latest songs. I'm even thinking about creating some songs right on the air, but I need your feedback, so you can send email to me. It's the same address, andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. Just mention Cosmic Spaceship if you want to talk to me. I don't talk very much when I do my music, because I like letting people listen to it all the way through. So thank you very much. I think I have, I don't know. I don't see the time. Oh, yeah, there it is. Another minuto, as they say in the business. Another minuto.